because I remember people doing that with the Orioles, and he has supplied to me all the receipts. This is from our show.
Nice.
Should the Yankees fear the Orioles or Astros more? Tiki and Morash get into a heated debate with Evan and a caller. We've got Greg Giannotti saying the Orioles look a lot like the Astros. Keith McPherson, quote, we got to deal with the new Astros in the AL East. The Astros in the AL, oh joy, talking about the Orioles. Then we've got Sean Morash saying the Orioles, they're the new Astros. So this was a common belief. Mm. Anytime someone beats the Yankees, they're the Astros.
Right. But really, it's so premature because the Astros were only really, well, even though the regular season mattered, but it didn't matter because it was a regular season. They were their nemesis in the postseason.
Exactly.
So until that happens, how can they be the new Astros?
They're not the new Astros. Not yet. Now, before we get back to your Yankee telephone calls, David Stearns met the media yesterday. We played some of the clips concerning the trade deadline, and he was pretty honest. Basically, they're going to go after bullpen arms. Doesn't sound like they'll be that aggressive for bats or even starting pitching. But I noticed something. I noticed something David said, and it really, really stuck a craw in me. And I could only imagine what it's going to do to Tiki Barber and what it would do to Tommy Lugauer, and certainly what it would do to Sean Morash, who's on the beaches right now. David was talking about the Met defense, coincidentally, and how they have struggled at times. Listen to what David Stern said and tell me if you pick up on the major faux pas that Mr. Stearns made.
Yeah, we made a couple mistakes the other night by two pretty good defenders. Like, LT's been really good back there and made a mistake.
I mean, is he talking about LaDainian Tomlinson? Oh, no, he maybe was talking about Lawrence Taylor. Oh, I got it. He came out of retirement at 70, and he's playing catcher now for the Mets.
So you know he met Luis Torrens, right?
Oh, what? That he's LT too?
You cannot. You cannot in this town. And David's a New Yorker. And by the way, David's a Giant fan. You cannot, as a Giant fan and a New Yorker, refer to anyone else as LT, especially a backup catcher.
LT's been really good back there.
You can't do that.
I have to push back on this.
No, you can't. Then you're going to lose your Giant fan card.
No, hold on a second. I've been hearing...
This is acceptable to you?
Tiki, I would just say this. I've been hearing this on this radio station forever.
About the use of LT.
There's only one LT.
There is only one LT.
Right, but LT is not retired. Meaning LT, his number's retired. He's the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL, greatest Giant, the whole thing. But
okay, but if you just said in a standard conversation, talking about anything. Yeah, I was watching blah, 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 and LT came up. Who do you think they're going to think you're talking about?
Oh, they're going to think about... We went through this with the Fab Four. You're going to think of Lawrence Taylor, but you're telling me...
But you're really talking about Luis Torrens.
But but if somebody's named Lou, I don't know, Torres, he can't go by LT?
No.
So nobody with the first name L and the last name T can walk around this planet Earth and be LT from now until eternity?
No, not when the audience is multiple hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Because there's only one LT.
Only one LT. And when you say this has been going on in this radio station, I remember it full hand during the middays with Joe, whenever, because we did the show during the prime of LaDainian Tomlinson. And LaDainian Tomlinson's nickname was LT. And yes. I have great respect for LaDainian Tomlinson. Who doesn't? He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the great running backs in the history of the sport. But we refused to call him LT. In fact, because Joe would get so pissed about it, I said, let's make a compromise. Mm-hmm. Let's call him LDT. And we did. And LaDainian Tomlinson, again, is an all-time great player. And yet around here, Mike wouldn't do it. Joe and I wouldn't do it. And I don't even remember Lawrence Taylor as a player. But that doesn't matter because you show respect for kings in this town.
All right, so it's the same sport.
LaDainian is a cool-ass name, too. So why would you not just go by LaDainian?
Because it's a pain to say the whole thing.
Is it? LaDainian. LaDainian.
Yes.
What's your name? My name's LaDainian, bro. What up?
It's just long.
It is.
That's the only problem. But even we would refuse to call LaDainian, and of course he ended up coming here and playing for the Jets, we wouldn't call him LT. If you're David Stearns, who I know for a fact is a Giant fan, he told me, I asked him, I wanted to confirm it. I figured, hey, if he's a Giant fan and he likes Tiki, maybe there's a better chance he'll come on the show.
Which he has not.
Which he has not done yet. And he said, yeah, no, I grew up as a Giant fan, love Tiki. He gave you great compliments.
Thank you.
And this guy's got the balls to sit there and call Luis Torrens LT? Come on.
But when LT's been really good back there.
When it came to Tomlinson, all right, that's in the football vortex. So I understand an LT, maybe in the NFL. It's a catcher in baseball. No. The guy can't go by LT.
No. You're 100% wrong, Tommy. I'm not even a Giant fan. You're wrong.
Because I just think that after a while, we've heard things forever, for decades. You know, you can't say this, you can't say that, where we create these rules as sports fans where we're not allowed to do such things. Why?
Okay.
Who are the people that set out these rules?
I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you an example. This will really send it home in talking about a guy that none of us saw play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know how Brett Beatty's got a childish face? He looks like a baby.
Yes, very young.
He looks like a baby. And so maybe everyone realized, wow, Brett Beatty looks like a baby. His nickname should just be The Babe. We would not be good with that.
Why not?
Because he's not Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth's been dead 100 years. At some point, yes, you have to move on.
Okay, but at some point, you're going to be having a random conversation about whatever. And you're going to say, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, The Babe is great. And people are going to think you're talking about Babe Ruth when you're really thinking you're talking about Brett Beatty. And it's just not going to, it's going to be lost in translation. There's going to have to be moments of clarification. And that conversation is going to now get derailed because they're going to get pissed off that you're calling Brett Beatty Babe instead of Babe Ruth Babe. Got it? Just like we're pissed off that you're calling Luis Torrens Babe, LT, as opposed to Lawrence Taylor, LT.
Well, so,
Danian Thomas.
Well, so, I think there are certain athletes who are so big and so special and so amazing that they retire a nickname.
Mm.
Babe Ruth retired The Babe. The Splendid Fact. Splinter has been retired.
Never.
The Mick has been retired.
Have you ever heard Babe again?
No!
Except for the movie about the pig.
Of course.
Or Sandlot. Who is she?
Exactly. And I think LT has retired LT. So whether it's LaDainian Tomlinson or it's Luis Torrens or any other athlete whose first letter of their first name is L and then their last name begins with a T, you cannot use it. Mm. And David Stearns, of all people, I'm ashamed of him because he's a New Yorker who's a Giant fan.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's some guy who came over from Southern California. It's not Brody Van Wagenen doing
it. That's a party foul.
Big foul.
Right.
But I think it's just him giving a guy a nickname. It's not that he's associating it with Lawrence Taylor. Luis Torrens and Lawrence Taylor have nothing to do with each other. It's just him giving a ER, right? Should George Clooney get mad at me if I call Evan Roberts ER because it was a TV show? Or should doctors get mad at me? Have they, you know...
You're drowning. Corners? Just give this one.
Yeah, I'm not drowning. Am I wrong? Am I the only people out there that's like, all right, enough, the LT, right? Nobody could go by LT ever again.
How angry would you get if people started calling me Positive Paulie around the station?
Well, I would have you removed immediately.
It's the same concept. It's the same thing.
There you go. That is a solid example.
That's a great point.
Solid.
But it's not Lawrence saying this. It's all of us out there doing his bidding for this.
I wouldn't have bothered Sean Morash because he's on vacation, but he decided at 2:50 to send us a picture. And I don't even know if I should say what he sent us a picture of because it's kind of...
Yeah, it's two ass cheeks on the beach. Two sets of ass cheeks on the beach.
And it's not his.
No, not his.
Wow. Yeah. I got it now.
Yeah, he sent... ass cheeks on the beach and said, I hope the show is going well. Hello from the beach. Yeah.
Kiss my fat ass!
So because he's involved us in this, I wrote him back and said, you're missing us ripping David Stearns for calling Luis Torrens LT. And I assume as a real Giant fan, not some fraudulent Giant fan.
He's calling in.
Not that he's calling in, but he will thumbs up that David Stearns can no longer ever call.
He wanted Abdul Carter to get Lawrence Taylor's number.
Different.
It's not there.
He's not the backup catcher for the Mets.
Okay. Right. He's a rookie. What's the, you know what I mean? And he's wearing a Giant jersey with LT's number. That's a big difference.
He'll look quite fine in 51. It's all settled.
Major apology coming from David Stearns. We should hear that before this show is over, so we'll keep you posted as soon as he calls in to give it. Let's go to Marco in the Bronx. What's up, Marco?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
Awesome. So I just wanted to add on to what Evan was saying about, you know, how Boone, Johnny Cochran's, you know, Bopey for now. And I think he does it with a lot of players. And I understand the fact that that's why they hired him. But I think the problem with the Yankees is you got to discipline them. I understand, you know, who you're going to put at shortstop right now. Listen, you're losing games that we should be winning. So what do you really have to lose by sending him down for a couple of games? Give some other kid an opportunity where he could perform. You know, humble them. Bring them back to a humbleness. Tiki, you know this game could humble you. And any game.
Any game
does. Any game.
And by the way, we saw that with the Mets. You go look at Francisco Alvarez. And I don't think it was as much as a humbling with Alvarez. It was more of he legitimately needed to get right.
Right.
His swing was jacked up. He was making errors that he had not made in 2 years behind the dish. And so he needed to go down.
Yeah.
He needed to reset and not have the pressure of being on the big stage. And I know it's a small sample size, but last night he looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, he did. I mean, so far the return could work. And sometimes it does work. I mean, I've seen it before where guys get sent down, they come back a month or 2 months later, and they're a different player. They have a guy in the minor leagues who actually, I think he started the playoff game against the Red Sox in 2021, or he came off the bench. You guys may remember him because he's a New Yorker, Andrew Velasquez. He was a switch-hitting shortstop, New Yorker, and he was briefly on the Yankees in 2021, and he either started the wild card game against the Red Sox or he came in off the bench. He's in AAA. He's hitting .230. You could call him up.
Right.
I mean, I guess. Like, if to his point.
Are you going to be excited is the question.
No.
The answer is no.
No, you would be doing it as a, hey, hopefully this gets him going. Hopefully this humbling gets him going. Now, David Stearns, other than us making fun of the LT thing, said something very interesting yesterday about Alvarez. Because I listened to the whole thing, did a Rico Bronya. So if you want to hear that whole thing, don't do it now, maybe later. Download the Rico Bronya. We listen to everything David Stern said, and we respond to it. This is why I'm such an expert on what he said.
Right.
And one of the things he said was, when a guy gets sent down like this, there's a lot of ways they could react. That's why we give them 72 hours before they report. Some get pissed off. Some guys are really angry. Some guys shrink when they go down there. And he was complimenting how Francisco got there immediately.
Right. Didn't he go right away?
Right away.
All right.
Did not take the 72 hours. And basically said, what do I got to do to get back?
Right.
And they told him, and he did it. And that's a testament to Alvarez. I don't know how Volpe would respond to this. I don't know, because everybody's different.
Well, yeah.
He could mope. I don't know.
Well, I don't think he'd mope, but I think the non-aware athlete would say, that's my job. I don't deserve to be down here. Meaning, it's ordained to be mine. And when you have an athlete that behaves that way, there's no way you can help them.
Right.
There's no way you can fix them.
Then you know it's over.
Exactly. Then, especially because it's baseball, you might as well trade him. Because he's never going to take criticism. He's never going to take, even if it's constructive criticism, or help on how to get himself out of what he's going to do. Now, or what he's been doing wrong. I think Volpe would actually take it just like Francisco Alvarez did. I don't think he has this pride, this excessive pride to say, I own this shortstop position for the Yankees, and it's mine no matter what. Don't you dare send me down.
Right.
I don't think he's that cocky. I think he'd actually be just like Alvarez was.
Yeah. I think it would be easier if they could get someone in here who could play the position. Like, if they're trading for Suarez from the Diamondbacks, or let's say they don't, and maybe they get Merrill Kelly instead, how about they throw in Geraldo Padromo, who could play shortstop? He's a switch hitter. He's a decent player. He's an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least if you're sending Volpe down, you're playing somebody that's a major leaguer. I mean, right now, their options are guys who are not major leaguers.
Right.
Flavio in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Flavio?
Oh, guys. Tommy Lugauer needs to leave LT's name out of his mouth.
And he's a Giant fan.
How dare... If Tommy's name was Lugauer Tommy, does that mean we start calling him LT?
What, I can't go by LT? What if it was? I can't go by that? Who decided that?
No,
I can't go... Why are people like you out there, oh, you can't do that? I'm sick of hearing that. I've heard that call 400 times on this radio station for the last 30 years. You can't do this. Why not? I can do whatever I want. David Stearns can call Luis Torrens LT if he wants.
If you move to Bozeman, Montana, help yourself. Knock yourself out. Be LT all day long.
Hey, you in the New York, are you a fly fisher, area, Flavio?
I am a fly fisherman.
You know how I knew that? Because there's only one reason. There's only one reason you would fly to Bozeman, Montana.
Is that it?
Is to go fly fishing.
That's a good catch right there. This is
not much I haven't done.
This is
and flying to Bozeman, Montana was one of them.
Ah, Bozeman, Montana. This is Tommy's most damaging take, honestly. It probably is the only opinion he's ever had that damages his chances of being the future of WFAN. Because a part of WFAN...
Well, that at least not the voice of the Giants.
Well, definitely not.
He's basically ceding it to Sean Moore.
Oh, no question. And you're also not respecting your past.
No,
See, the thing is, and this is the difference here, I didn't see LT play. Like, I saw this last year. I'd be the first to admit, I raised my hand, like, LT's a story to me. I know that, but I respect him. You don't respect Lawrence Taylor.
No, it's not.
And you're showing that by whoring out his nickname to a backup catcher.
Why would you do that to our greatest player?
It's not disrespecting LT. It's going against all the people that go, oh, you can't do this. That's the past that I'm looking to move forward from. And that's what being the future is. So we can get rid of these tropes in sports talk radio. You can't do this. Says who? Do whatever I want.
Says 85% of New York sports fans.
You couldn't have a pitch clock 10 years ago, but now you have a pitch clock,
don't
and it's great.
A pitch
so if we had 25 LTs walking around, you'd get used to the 25 other LTs. That's all.
I do have a good idea for you.
Yes.
Next time you have a slow Lugauer, just open with Luis Torrens' LT. Mm. You could do 40 minutes arguing with Giant fans.
Do you really want to die on that hill, too?
I've died on worse, I think, but all right. I don't mind.
Giants! Help us, God!
That is a horrible hill to die on. That's for damn sure. Let's go to Dennis in West Hartford. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call. With the Yankees and Volpe, it's he's a .230 hitter. That's all he is. You look at his minor league record; he's a .230 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've got to stop saying that Volpe is just he can be fixed. He's just going to be a .230 hitter. And then the second thing is with the Yankees, we're not getting a production from the key area, positions on the team. We're not getting production from our catcher. We're not getting production from the third baseman. We're not getting production from left field. Our relievers have been eh. This team needs way more than just Suarez. This team needs relievers, third baseman, and probably maybe a starter.
Well, the odds are, and I was doing this earlier, I put out a tweet with Met fans about, hey, what is the most important thing for them to add at the trade deadline? Bat, starting pitcher, relief pitcher?
Right.
I think every team is kind of in that spot where you could sit there and say, hey, my team can use this, 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 and this. I think the Tigers are in that spot. I think the Phillies are in that spot. I think everybody is, maybe outside of the Dodgers, because they can convince themselves all these pitchers are going to come back healthy. So the idea that they could use four or five different things is not abnormal. But what we need to decide on is, if you're not going to be able to add four or five things, which is unlikely, what's the priority?
Right. What's most important and what's most doable?
So for the Yankees, and I ask you the question because I don't think it's easy, another starting pitcher, a reliever, a third baseman. What's the priority for Brian Cashman at the deadline? The easy answer is all of the above.
Right.
If it's not going to be all of the above, what's most important?
To me, it's the third baseman.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to get Luis Gil back. So he kind of fills that void.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rodon he was actually fine, even though he had trouble and traffic the entirety of this game. But he got out of it. A couple bases loaded situations. And it was the fifth inning that things kind of blew up, and some of it wasn't even his fault.
Right.
It was because of the errors that we've been alluding to already. But there's this thing with Carlos Rodon where you hope that he comes back to the pitcher that he was earlier this year, or that he's always expected to be here. But you still kind of trust him, even though you get frustrated by him. I think Max Fried, you'll trust him once his blister situation. We'll find out tomorrow because he's pitching tomorrow. I like where Marcus Stroman is.
He's pitched well.
He's pitched well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, last year he was like, take him or leave him. This year you kind of know you need him.
Mm.
And so if Luis Gil comes back and he's healthy and he's dominant like he was a year ago, starting pitching isn't the priority. It might be a middle reliever, even though you don't really even need that because Tim Hill is there and you have the two closer types here. To me, it's really the third baseman. It's defense on that hot corner and then a bat who can complement or accent what the strengths of this Yankees offense is. So to me, it's third base.
All right. I'm putting that poll out now because I did it for the Mets and just
what did it come out?
So I said, what's the biggest need for the Mets to trade them?
It depends on if they listen to David Stearns yesterday.
Well, David Stearns.
If you listen to David Stearns, all you're getting is a couple of relievers.
That's what David Stearns said. David Stearns made it very clear through what he said that his priority is relievers. Doesn't mean they're not going to talk about a starter or talk about a bat, but clearly.
Right.
His answer is, and that's what I appreciate about David, who's very honest, whether we agree or not, relievers.
Yeah, he basically said he's fine with Mauricio and who was, what's his name?
Beatty, Vientos, basically all of them to play third base and McNeil playing center field.
Right.
So I put bat, starting pitcher, relief pitcher. What do you think the results are? We know what David Stern said. These are Met fans on social media.
I think they said bat.
You think they said bat?
Yes.
Incorrect.
What did they say?
18% said starting pitcher, 26% said bat, 56% said relief pitcher.
Huh.
And you know what's funny? I do agree with them. Like, if you're power ranking, it doesn't mean they couldn't use a bat. Like, right. I would add a bat in the right opportunity.
Right. You just asked me what you thought. What do they think they need? They need relievers.
Yeah, they need relievers.
Right. So
I completely.
I thought you asked me what I thought the fan would say.
Right. Oh, well, you're wrong,
about the Met fan.
You're wrong about the Met fan. I think it's clear that bullpen is a priority because right now, and play the game with the Yankees too. Let's do it side by side. How many relievers on the New York Yankees are in the circle of trust?
Three.
And what I mean by that is guys that you would trust in a big spot. Your answer is three?
Three.
Completely agree. I would trust Luke Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
He had his funk earlier. Yep. Jeff McNeil made him pay.
It was short, though. It was like a short funk.
It was, and he was coming off the IL.
Right.
And so he's been better
lately.
Probably
too soon, by the way.
He missed
two and a half weeks.
You're right.
And he came right back.
And he didn't even have a rehab assignment.
No.
So you've got Luke Weaver, you got Devin Williams, you got Tim Hill.
Yes.
Could they use another guy? Of course. But they've got three circle of trust relievers. How many relievers in the circle of trust exist for the New York Mets? Right now,
I'm
going to
say one and a half.
It's Edwin Diaz.
I'm going to say, I kind of still
trust. Brocciarelli, you want to put him in there already?
No, Brazoban. I still kind of trust
Brazoban. Garrett, Brazoban, and Stanek have all had moments. Yeah. No question about it, but you're nervous about all of them.
But there was a stretch with Brazoban to start the season where he was spectacular.
He was great. Yeah. Same with Reed Garrett. Reed Garrett had a sub-1 ERA.
Yeah.
I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, it's one.
It's one and a half.
I'm going to give it a half.
Well, the half to me is Brocciarelli because it's tough after two performances to put him in there, but he's pitched well as a Met before the Tommy John surgery.
Right.
So he does have a track record. So I think based on that, it's bullpen help. It doesn't mean I don't want a bat. Of course I want a bat. But I think bullpen's the clear priority. Positive Tommy, Mets priority should be what?
A bat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would go back because I felt, and that's why I was a little surprised by that answer. They just got
my answer or the poll's answer?
The poll's answer. They just got a reliever back. So they've added arms to that bullpen already. And you heard Stearns yesterday say maybe they'll bring, does that count if we bring up one of our kids to be a relief pitcher? Like as far
does
as
that
adding?
Count as a trade deadline acquisition? No.
Well, would it
work for the Mets now?
Would it,
because if they bring up one of the starters in the minors to be a reliever, then you don't need the reliever.
Well, that's giving yourself a chance to improve yourself, but that's not addressing it at the trade deadline. The question is, what's the biggest need at the trade deadline?
No, I mean, you could do that my point is that you could bring a kid up to be a reliever, and then you could trade for a bat so you could get two out of the three on the poll, is what I'm saying. Wouldn't that be the most prude and smart thing to do if you're the Mets?
I think what makes the bat difficult, so I want the Mets to add a bat. Now, the numbers tell you that if they were actually competent with runners in scoring position, they'd be a better offense. They wouldn't be a top offense, but they'd be a better offense.
And when I said prude, I meant prudent, obviously. Prude means that picture that Sean sent us from the beach has my mind somewhere else. I meant prudent. I go to Paul, I go, did I just say prude?
I kind of heard you say prudent for some reason. Maybe I corrected you in my head.
Well, I said
by
prudent.
By the way,
now.
That happens all the time. People screw up stuff, and you just correct it in your head. You don't even acknowledge it.
That's it. That's what I think I did.
Right.
I think I know Tommy well enough where I corrected his mistake. See, the difference is I do that with him. With me, he'll just pounce on the mistake.
He'll call you out. Hold on. Play the tape back, Evan.
Here's the problem with the bat. And David Stearns made this point, and I agree with him. Which bat available, not fictitiously, but really truly available, would be an upgrade for them offensively?
Eugenio Suarez.
I agree. I think he'd be one. I think that's an example. Absolutely. I think it's going to be very costly. I'm not sure if they're going to be willing to do that, but who else? Like, my point is, it's not a long list. Like, is Cedric Mullins a huge upgrade right now in center field?
I mean, Taylor's not hitting at all, but if you're going to say
Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, if you're going to say the platoon of them, then
yeah, you're fine with McNeil out there. He basically said that as well yesterday.
The bar is higher. Like, if Byron Buxton became available, I'd go try to trade for him.
Vientos, Mauricio, and a prospect?
For whom?
Suarez.
That's a lot. I can't do that. For a rental? I can't do that. I'd say no. I'm a pig. What could I
tell
you?
Yeah, but hold on. You're the one that says you buy in Queens.
What does that mean?
Meaning you come here, you're going to stay here.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to stay. I don't know if I want to keep them. You think I want to give you chitters?
Rent to own?
How about a lease? Just a car, a year or two.
Yeah, but I'm not
sublet.
I'm not offering him the car. Like, do I want to give Suarez a 5 or 6 year deal? He may ask for that. I'm not giving him that. Suarez is a rental player. Like, he's not a guy I would want to marry. He's a guy, yeah, I'd bring him in and have a fun ride on him.
Well, what if it's really good?
Sometimes you got to walk away from what's really good.
What? Better get that prenup.
Can I give you a great example of that? Go ahead. A baseball example? The Mets traded for Javier Baez in 2021. And we all know they gave up Pete Crow Armstrong, right, and it hasn't worked out from that regard. But Baez was really good. Like, he was really productive. I'll never forget Beningo telling me, bro, I would get rid of Lindor and keep Baez. And I know that sounds nuts now, but that's how he felt because Baez was so good in that one little period of time. And there was a lot of Mets fans who said they should keep him, give him all the money, play him at second base, we're good to go. The Mets decided, you know what, probably not a good long-term decision. That turned out to be one of the worst contracts in baseball. The Mets were right to say that's a rental. And technically it worked as a rental because he was good. The team wasn't good. Right. The thumbs down wasn't good. But he was productive. So there's certain players in a trade, and this is more of a discussion for the offseason, where I don't want to keep them. I'm literally trading for them to rent them and then say, thank you for your time. Now move on.
Right, but you already have three young third basemen. If you trade two of them for the rental,
I'm not trading two of them.
But you would still have another one, whether you keep Vientos or you keep Beatty.
So you would trade Mark Vientos and Ronnie Mauricio for Eugenio 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 Suarez?
I don't think any one of those were right. What I am suggesting is that the Mets...
No. Answer the question, because that's what Tiki offered. Yes or no?
What was the offer again? Vientos, Mauricio?
Mauricio, and maybe a prospect for... Flores. I mean, because at what point do especially Mauricio, just stop becoming a prospect and just guy who's not going to quite get it? He's a major leaguer, but he's just not going to quite get it for you. Maybe a change of scenery does him good.
Answer the question. Tiki made a trade offer. I was clear in saying I would not make that trade. What about you?
I think I would make that trade because they have all these young players. At some point, you're going to have to package them for a player because there's just not enough space.
I agree, but not him. That's a rental play. I'm not packaging Vientos and Mauricio for a third base rental. Mm-hmm. And by the way, shame on you.
Shame
and
on
I
you
have
for.
The audio. You give me 20 minutes, I'll pull it up.
No, I know that. I said I don't want to trade the young players.
No, you didn't want to trade Vientos straight up for Devers. Now you want
to. I said that?
Yes.
Well, I mean, that was clearly January, Tommy.
January.
Given the pain in the ass that Rafael Devers is turning out to be, no matter where he is.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Lugie, if you could go back into the time machine and have a conversation with April Lugie,
yeah,
would you trade Mark Vientos for Rafael Devers?
April Lugie would not have.
No, I'm asking right now, would you go back in
right
time
now?
And punch what? April Lugie in the face and tell him...
Oh, I see what you're saying. July Lugie would tell April Lugie that was probably the bad thing to say on the radio. that you probably should take an L for that one.
Lugie! We'll get back to your call. It is time for a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
That's where I read the old tweets of some of our fellow FAN co-workers, and Tiki will try to guess whom was the person that tweeted. This is very timely because, as you guys know, the Yankees are bringing back Old Timers Day. They're going to have the game. And one of the guys who will be appearing for the very first time is Roger Clemens.
Wow.
So this post is from March 19th, 2020. 20 years later, and I'm still not over that low-life Clemens throwing the bat at Piazza. Mike should have kicked the crap out of him on the spot. Suspension be damned. End of story. Was that... Evan Roberts, Tommy Lugauer, Sal Licata, or Greg Giannotti?
That was written in such your voice. It had to be you.
You're wrong.
Oh, how am I wrong?
It was not me. I agree.
Maybe you just delivered it. Perfect. I will say, I completely agree with the sentiment. I'm almost jealous that it wasn't me, but it is not me.
Sal?
No biggie.
It is Sal. Sal and I agree on a few things when it comes to the Mets, and that's one of them. That Mike should have gone out there and beaten the crap out of Roger Clemens. Now, I don't know if he would have been able to. Roger was a tough guy.
Right.
Who probably was a little gassed up in that moment. So, yes, that was Sal Licata. Post number two, September 26th, 2011. What's the best candy bar to freeze? I just threw some mini Butterfingers in the freezer. Unreal. Is that Evan Roberts, Sean Morash, Greg Giannotti, or Chris McMonagle?
Unreal. Butterfingers? That's C-Mac.
You're wrong.
How is that not?
You pick C-Mac because he's large.
Just because it seems like he would like Butterfingers.
It is not Big Mac.
Is that you?
You're wrong.
I have no idea.
It is Gio.
He's a pudgy yeehaw clapper.
Gio likes Butterfingers?
I have never agreed with a sentiment from Gio more than I do this.
Really?
Yes. The Butterfinger in the freezer is like, oh.
Okay, what about the Butterfinger in general?
It's one of the top three candies of all time.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't know.
And the mini Butterfingers that he's referring to, in my understanding, is you can only get it at the movie theater. And when I go to the movie theaters, I always have a tough decision between Reese's Pieces and mini Butterfingers. Because, like, those are the two best.
Right.
And I go back and forth. Sometimes I get both. Sometimes
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
I get my son to get the Reese's Pieces, Spence, who made his debut yesterday, and I quietly pick a few from him. Because he's a little guy. Right. Can't take
and he won't miss them.
He won't miss them.
Nor does he need all of them.
Plus, he shares. Jet doesn't share as much. Spence is a sharer. But Butterfingers in the freezer? Oh, my God. Basically anything in the freezer.
I was going to say a lot of chocolate bars. Twix, Three Musketeers. When they're frozen, man.
Oh,
the only one that's not good is the Snickers. Because it gets impossible to bite.
With the peanuts.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And the nougat.
The problem is Snickers bars, to me, are the worst candy bars in the history of candy. Mm. Not a fan.
They're the most filling.
What was that?
They're the most filling.
That's what the commercials say.
No, but they are.
Oh, are they?
Like, if you're legitimately hungry and you need a meal, go get a Snickers.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've only had a Snickers bar many, many years ago when I was a kid. I didn't like it, and that was it. Like, I never had it again. I am now in my 40s. Like, there could be a reprieve to just give it a shot. But why waste bad food on something that's mediocre? Like, why not go Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or Butterfingers? I mean, those are the holy grail of candies. Anyhow, number three. This is from July 2nd, 2012. We should add days to the month of June in order of time. Hold on, I got to read this again.
Right.
We should add days to the month of June in order to time it so that the 4th of July falls on a Friday or a Monday. 3-day weekend, holler. Is that Evan Roberts, Tommy Lugauer, Al Dukes, or Keith McPherson?
Holler.
Holler. You're analyzing the holler?
Yes. Hal would not say that.
What are you?
I think it's Keith.
You're wrong.
Is it Al?
Eat me.
Come on, Al. It is Al. Al's a smart guy. So if we add days to the month of June, hold on, I'm confused.
He's randomly adding days so that July 4th is always on a Friday or Monday.
But it's not going to work that way.
Why?
Because how would it guarantee that the 4th of July is always on a Friday or Monday by just adding days to June? Like, it changes every year. It would be the same problem. Unless he's saying we change it every year based on when the 4th of July would be.
Yes, that's how I heard it.
Oh, so some years June is a 35-day month.
Yes.
And some days it's a 31-day month.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How about being born June 34th?
Well, it'd be kind of like leap year babies who were born on February 29th. Mm-hmm. You only celebrate it once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, plenty of people deal with that. So it'd be very similar because it would change year to year. Anyhow, one final tweet. This is from February 24th, 2015. MLB talking about shortening the season from 162 games to 154 is dumb. It's not even noticeable. Cut it in half to 81 games.
81?
Is that Tommy Lugauer, Craig Carton, Al Dukes?
Definitely Craig. It's got to be Craig.
You're wrong.
How is that not Craig?
I threw him in there. Just
he would be the only one that would suggest such an asinine opinion. First of all, it's an uneven number.
81. No. Yeah, this guy didn't think about that. Like, it's got to be 82 then. So who's the person who tweeted that?
Tommy.
You're wrong.
I have no idea who.
The answer is, again, Al Dukes.
Generational talent.
The crazy thing is, Tommy agrees with that opinion.
I do. Maybe not 82, but 162 games is way, way too many baseball games.
Is
it?
I mean, they talk about the dog days of August.
Well, think how quickly the season will end if it's only 82 games.
Okay, maybe not 82, but like 102 or something.
Mm. Here's the problem. Tommy's got...
Still quick.
It's very quick.
I mean, think about it. That's two less months of games.
But the baseball playoff format has changed in a way that has minimized the regular season in such a way that playing 162 games just to get to a tournament that features... Think about the amount of teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
A lot of teams do. Six of them do. where basically it's get hot for a week or two and you could go to the World Series,
right,
feels uneven. So even though I love baseball and I want it to stay at 162 because of the records and the history and everything that goes with it, you can make a compelling baseball argument that it's worthless to have that many games considering what the format is. Like, I get it.
Right, and it's still snowing sometimes in some cities at the start of the season. So chop like 30 games off. Chop that first month. Start like around early May.
But inherently the issue is baseball.
That's different. Well, going 20, that sounds doable.
But the problem is I think people still love the history of the sport. And you are just, the home run record is gone.
I know, but
you know, it's just all gone, and you know that. Forget me for a second. Everybody else still is in love with it. Right. And now you're just throwing out one thing baseball has over every other sport. You're eliminating it.
Right, and just think about the American League record that Judge chased.
It's gone.
And beat.
It's over.
That was not even close to Barry Bonds.
Right.
But how engaged was everybody?
Well, records are gone. Like, you can just forget about that. And then all-time records are gone, too, because you're playing so much fewer games. And I think, unlike the other sports, where I just don't think it matters nearly as much.
No.
It matters so much in baseball that you can go to 154 because we had it before. It's not that big of a deal. If you ever cut it to such a level, the history of the sports changes and you just lost something that's important.
It's so hard to be offensively great in baseball that it makes the history that much more sustainable. Whereas in football, you just can't hit quarterbacks, can't hit wide receivers, call games the way you call games. You're going to score 40 points, right? Quarterback's going to throw for 4,500 yards. Think of 30 years ago. It's not even the same game.
And that's why the records don't matter.
Like, same thing is in basketball.
Right. So no one cares about it as much. Right. Baseball, which is not the most popular sport in the world, but what it still has over the other sports are those records. Mm. And as soon as you shorten it away like that, you've just given up one thing baseball has over the other sports.
But I feel like the history of the sport went out the window in the steroid era.
We just ignore what happened.
It was short-lived,
but
I think.
But we don't know who did what and when they did
but
it.
But did you were around for Judge's AL record. The city was into it. What are you talking about?
The city was into it, but my point is that it has muddied the waters now when you have no idea what anybody's doing. So my point is with the records and stuff, people like to clutch their pearls. Well, this guy never did anything. You don't know that. You don't know who did what, when they did what.
Yeah, but you're getting out into a different argument. I'm just saying people still love the history of those things, and you eliminate that if your baseball season is so short.
Right, but
there's no denying that.
You would agree, Evan, the baseball that you and I and we grew up on baseball, that it's different now.
Doesn't matter. People still love it. People still love the records. But you've eliminated it you shorten a season that much.
But a pitch clock, now you have a swing off, you're going to have robot arms, you have a runner on second base. I'm serious. In the 10th inning, radical realignment that you said is coming.
I'll take that step by step because you're wrong on all accounts. So
all accounts?
Yeah, seriously.
Guilty? What do I get? To life here in Sports Talk Radio?
Well, no, I don't think you committed a crime. I just want to fix it because you say stuff, but I don't think you think about it well. The pitch clock hasn't altered the game in any way. All it's done is bring it back to the way it was 20 years ago. That's all it's done. It's done nothing to alter the sport in a major way. The pitch clock has made baseball because players started ignoring, hey, we should move. The clock just enforces a sport that we watched 25 years ago.
But would you agree that the purists and the people that love baseball when the pitch clock was...
Yeah, they love it now.
No, but they hated it at first.
They didn't listen to the arguments. They were just wrong.
But maybe they'll love 120 games.
No. Hold on. Just stick with me here. They were wrong, and I think they've all admitted that. The pitch clock didn't do anything to alter the sport. It just brought it back. So that's number one. What was the second thing you threw out there?
Robot umps.
All that's doing is just making sure that umpires get calls right. That doesn't change the history of the sport. Yeah, we've had bad calls before, but getting better at things doesn't change the game in such a way.
I don't think it's going to be fully automatic umps.
It should be.
I know, but I don't think it's going to be.
It won't be. I agree with you, but it should be.
Yeah.
So that's number two, because these things haven't... The swing off... Wow. That's a tough one.
that was third on my list that you said I was wrong about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the swing off thing is, now you're right. No, I think that one I'll give you. If they ever went to a swing off to determine extra inning games, it absolutely is going to, we're going to look at extra inning games and say, was that really a win?
Yes. That's exactly
that's
right.
A tough one, but it hasn't happened yet.
Because you can't account for it correctly.
Yeah.
It got hard to account for the Manfred man.
But you know what? Even I don't like the Manfred man, but it's baseball. Like, there's just a guy on second base,
and
you're
not
playing
an run when you give it up, so it doesn't hit the stats.
Right, that's a clerical thing. But in terms of winning and losing, like, it involves all aspects of baseball. The problem with the swing off, and I'm sure you guys talked about it. I'm sure that was like a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, because Sean was basically saying it's going to be a part of Major League Baseball.
Oh, I think it's coming too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like it, but that's why I paused when you said that, and I'm like, okay, that's a good point. I give that to you.
Why do you like it a part of baseball?
Did I say I like it? Did I say I like it?
But if you can see it, that means I don't know.
No.
All right.
I could see a lot of bad stuff. Doesn't mean I like it. I could see aliens invading and killing us all. That doesn't mean I like it. I hate the swing off. But I'm also being honest. Like, can I see it coming to baseball? Yes.
Because it hastens the end of games?
Because Rob Manfred is an idiot. You know, I sort of love you, Rob. No, I think Rob is not an idiot. He's the opposite. He's an evil genius, actually. He's so freaking smart sometimes, it pisses me off. Rob Manfred is an evil genius. He's Dr. Evil. Mm. So, for example, Rob Manfred, you know what he's doing right now? You guys know what Rob Manfred's doing? He's going to players right now, and he's saying, hey, we need a salary cap floor, and it's for you. It's for you guys. The union's trying to screw.
Salary cap floor.
Yeah, it's for you guys. Because
to raise the minimum.
Correct. And to raise the middling baseball players. Right. We want to get you more money. It's not fair that you don't have more money. And he's doing that to cause a civil war in the players' union between the really, really top echelon rich players and the middle players.
Like 15 guys.
Yes. He's a genius, this son of a... And the other thing that Rob does is, Rob does something cheesy like the swing-off. And he knows that guys like Sean and Tommy and others are going to be like, hey, that was cool. And it was cool. I don't disagree that it wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. But enough people will say, hey, why don't we just do that next round? And he knows enough people will buy the stupid meat he just put out there. So in 3 years, when he implements it and says, screw it, let's have a swing off.
Right.
There'll be enough squirrels out there, like Tommy and Sean, to say, I like it. I like it.
I saw this in the All-Star game in 2025. That was actually pretty cool.
So Rob's an evil genius. I know what he's doing. I hate it. I can't stop it. I don't like it. But if you ask me right now and you say, hey, Ev, do you think the swing-off's coming to Major League Baseball? I'd say, yeah, of course it is.
You're such a party pooper. You throw me and Sean into the fire. Everybody on social media loved it. Every call we got about it, which is normally negative, loved the swing-off. Then you come in here off your European vacation and you say, oh, you guys are all stupid. You don't agree, like, in the 11th or 12th inning, that's a cool thing and a thing that can be exciting for young Spence and young Jet to watch?
Great question. Yes and no. You got me.
To grow the sport?
You totally got me on something. He got me. And I know this. That's why I know eyes wide open when we have this discussion. I'm going to lose it. Of course it's exciting. Of course kids would find that really cool.
The strategy of it.
100%. Just like the shootout in hockey. The shootout in hockey is really exciting. It's not hockey. It's a skills competition. Right. Just because something is fun and exciting doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it the best way to determine a winner or loser.
It's a skills competition that at times is also part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different.
I understand.
Whereas the swing-off is a skills competition, but it is never a part of a game.
A home run competition is not a part of the game.
No,
I know that.
Not a part of a real game.
The problem with this argument is there's a lot of things Tommy and others will say that, of course, I'll admit. I'm not going to lie to you and say it's not exciting. It was very exciting. I didn't watch it live. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, but I did watch the replay of it, right. And I was like, of course it's exciting. I would never want that to determine the result of a game. I would never want that to determine a playoff spot, which it will ultimately.
Right.
Because there's a bunch of extra inning games that will be outcomed by a swing-off. So just getting back to the initial point, I do agree with you that the swing-off is one rule change in baseball, if it ever happens, that would certainly alter the record books and history more than the other things you brought up. But this is why Tommy's a good arguer. If you throw enough stuff that's not true out there, just get one thing to stick. And if you get one thing to stick, it's like, see, I told you. So you did it. You did it very successfully.
Well,
you should run for office.
My overall point was that things have changed a lot in baseball, at least with the rules. And why can't the season shortening be part of that? That's all.
I think because it would change so much. Like, changing it to 154 is not a big deal. In fact, I'm kind of in favor of 154. I think when you get below that, it causes too much crazy alterations. Anyhow, we'll get back to your phone calls coming up. 888-808-1019.